You know, I hope in my leadership journey that there's people that are courageous enough to have conversations with me about things that I do that impacts them in a negative way. Because as soon as I learn about that, I can own it, I can apologize, and I can repent and get better. It's the whole goal. Hey, podcast family, and welcome to episode number 280 of the L3 Leadership Podcast, where we are obsessed with helping you grow to your maximum potential and to maximize the impact of your leadership. My name is Doug Smith, and I am your host, and today's episode is brought to you by my friends at Baratung Advisors. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here, and I hope that you'll enjoy our content and become a subscriber. And if you've been listening for a while, thank you so much, and it would mean the world to me if you would leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whatever app you listen to podcasts through. That really does help us reach more leaders, which is our whole mission here at L3 Leadership. So thank you in advance. Well, in today's episode, you'll hear me teach on the subject, how to overcome wounds in leadership. And let me just ask you this, leader, have you ever been wounded in your leadership journey? I know that I have, and because I didn't have a resource like this, because I didn't have other leaders walk me through my woundedness, I let the pain of my wounds literally hold me back from going after what was in my heart and after my potential for days, months, and in some cases, even years. And so it took me a long, long time to learn how to properly handle the wounds that I experienced in my leadership journey. And so today's lesson is basically a summary of everything that I've learned about overcoming wounds. And my hope is that if you've been wounded in your leadership journey, that this will give you a process to help you go through the process quicker, to fully recover and heal from your wounds, and to move more into your potential in the future that God has for you as a leader because you learned how to navigate your woundedness. So that's what you're in store for today. But before we dive into the lesson, just a few announcements. This episode of the L3 Leadership Podcast is sponsored by Baratung Advisors. The financial advisors at Baratung Advisors help educate and empower clients to make informed financial decisions. You can find out how Baratung Advisors can help you develop a customized financial plan by visiting their website at baratungadvisors.com. That's baratungadvisors.com. Securities and investment products and services offered through Waddell & Reed, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Baratung Advisors, Waddell & Reed, and L3 Leadership are separate entities. I also want to thank our sponsor, Henny Jewelers. They're a jeweler owned by my friend and mentor, John Henny. And my wife, Laura, and I got our engagement and wedding rings through Henny Jewelers and had an amazing experience. But not only do they have great jewelry, they also invest in people. In fact, for every couple that comes in and gets engaged and gets their engagement and wedding rings at Henny Jewelers, they give them a book to help them prepare for marriage. And we just love that. So if you're in need of a good jeweler, check out HennyJewelers.com. And with all that being said, let's dive right into the episode. Here's my lesson on how to overcome wounds in leadership. And let me just start with a question. Have you ever been wounded in your leadership journey? And if you have been wounded in your leadership journey, did that wound and did the pain of that wound hold you back from going after whatever you were supposed to be going after in that season? And if it held you back, here's the third question. How long did it hold you back? Did it hold you back a day? A couple of weeks? A couple of months, or even a couple years. I ask you that because I know that I've been wounded in my leadership journey. And because I didn't know how to properly navigate the woundedness in my leadership journey, I literally was held back for months and in a few cases, years from going after all that I could have been going after and realizing my potential because I did not know how to properly navigate my woundedness. And that's the whole thesis of this lesson. Here's what I want you to know. If we don't learn how to properly address our wounds, we will never be able to move into the future that God has for us. I'll say that again. If we don't learn how to properly address our wounds, we will never be able to move into the future that God has for us. And you know, for me, I didn't have a lesson like this when I got wounded. And that's why I was held back so long. I didn't have mentors come alongside me in my woundedness. I didn't know what to do. And so my hope today is that I can summarize the lessons that I've learned in navigating my woundedness in hopes that you'll be able to navigate your woundedness faster than I was and that it won't hold you back and that you'll actually have a game plan for the rest of your life that anytime you get wounded, you'll just come back to this game plan and you'll be resourced to overcome the wounds in your life. And so if you've been wounded in your leadership journey, here's what I want you to know today. You're not alone. You're not alone. You may think you're the only person that's been wounded or in pain, but you're not. Pretty much everyone on the planet has been wounded, and especially in leadership. Number two, I want you to know that your future is not over, even if it seems like it is. Number three, I want you to know that you are not who other people have said that you are. Number four, I want you to know that you don't have to carry the pain that comes with your wounds with you everywhere that you go for the rest of your life. I want you to know that your wounds can be healed. I want you to know that your wounds can become a part of your story and your testimony. And I want you to know, as a leader, ultimately, your wounds can end up helping others in their woundedness. And lastly, if you're a person of faith, I want you to know that God can paint a beautiful picture and write a beautiful story through your woundedness, if you'll just let Him. And so let's dive into the tactical. You guys know I like to be practical. How do you properly address wounds? Here are a few thoughts. Number one, you have to acknowledge your wounds. You have to acknowledge your wounds. Now, this may seem really, really basic, but you'd be surprised how many people try to mask their wounds through drugs, through alcohol, through performance. You know, for me, many of you know, I lost my sister to a heroin overdose in December of 2019. And when I lost my sister, I got a phone call from my dad. I cried for 30 seconds. I went over to my dad's house. I rescued him. I put together the funeral. I put together a message for the funeral. I raised a ton of money for my nephews, and I basically went back to work. I never actually acknowledged the wound that I experienced through losing my sister. I never grieved. And it didn't catch up with me at first, but 9 months later, it ended up leading me into the darkest season of my life, all because I wasn't willing to acknowledge the woundedness I have and actually sit in it and deal with it. And if you're going to heal your wounds, the first step to healing them is you have to acknowledge them. And so what does acknowledging them look like? It could be as simple as journaling. That's where I would encourage you to start. Grab a journal. We have a whole course at L3 on journaling if you're interested. But grab a journal and start to write down your experience. What are your thoughts? You know, get to the root of the wound. What caused the wound? Who caused the wound? How is it still impacting your life? Write it in a journal. And once you're done journaling, share what you wrote in your journal with somebody that you trust. You can certainly, if you're a person of faith, share it with God. But share it with a trusted friend and start having that conversation. Because here's what I know. You likely know other leaders that have gone through a similar season of woundedness in their life, and they can help comfort you and walk you through your woundedness. You don't have to go through life alone. One of our values here at L3 Leadership is community. We believe that every leader needs community. You were never meant to do life alone. So start to share with some of your trusted friends and advisors in your life what you're going through. We need to acknowledge our woundedness. The second thing I'd encourage you to do to overcome the wounds in your leadership is to go to therapy. Go to therapy. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Counseling and therapy is for the strong. It's not for the weak. And for some reason, leaders have that mixed up. Leaders tend to think that the therapy and counseling is for the weak and not for the strong. Wrong. My therapist has been extremely helpful in helping me address my wounds. Through therapy, I actually discovered that the root of all of my woundedness was the core belief that I'm not enough. Once I discovered that, my therapist took me through an exercise where he had me draw a T-chart on a piece of paper, and on the left column, he said, "I want you to write down specific evidence you have that you are enough." It took me a few minutes, but I actually started getting rolling, and I ended up writing a page and a half, and I realized that there's a ton of evidence that supports that I am enough in life. And then he said, "Okay, well, let's go into the other column. On the right-hand column, I want you to write evidence that you have in your life that proves that you're not enough." And I wrote down a few things, but as I wrote them down, I realized that they were stories that I was just making up in my mind, which I'll talk about in a minute. But this was huge for me. This was huge. And this exercise in therapy led me to healing a significant wound in my life. So my advice to you is go to therapy. It could change your life. You could get a revelation like I had that about what your woundedness is, or you can have an exercise that your therapist takes you through that changes your life forever. Go to therapy. Number three, ask yourself what stories you're making up in your head. Ask yourself what stories you're making up in your head. And I learned this from Brené Brown, and she just said, it's good to always be asking yourself, you know, in this situation, what stories am I making up in my mind? And share that with other people. Because here's what I know, we often make up the worst imaginable stories in our minds, and the majority of the time, the stories that we make up in our head are so far from reality. And as a leader, here's what I want you to know. Not every thought or story that comes into your head is true, or if you're a person of faith, or is from God. I'll say that again. Not every thought or story that comes into your head is true or is from God. And so this is huge to be able to actually recognize what stories we're making up in our minds. And for me, as I started to think about the stories that I was making up in my mind, what I realized was I would live a lot of my life in other people's heads constantly. And all I would think about, I actually came to the realization that there was five people in this season of woundedness that I have that I cared way too much about what they thought of me. And literally, all throughout my day, everything that I did, everything that I would say, everything that I would post, I would just say, I wonder what they think about this. I wonder what they're thinking. Actually, I know what they're thinking. They think this, this, and this. And everything that I thought, all the stories that I was telling myself, was basically proving to myself that these five people thought poorly of me. That was my assumption. And I literally let these stories that I was making up in my mind take up an enormous amount of my energy, my thoughts, and my belief. And so when I started to get this revelation that I was making up these stories and I don't know if they're true or not, I actually decided to schedule a meeting with each of those five people to seek reconciliation, which is going to be my next point. And so my action step here is take some time. And when you've been wounded, journal out. What stories am I making up in my mind? What stories am I believing? Because let me just tell you, they might not even be true. So what do you do when you find out that you're making up stories in your mind that you're not true? You share them with others, which leads to my fourth point. The fourth thing I would tell you to do when it comes to overcoming the wounds in your leadership journey is to seek reconciliation with people. Seek reconciliation with people. I'll share a scripture with you that had a profound impact on my life, and even if you're not a person of faith, I think this will really impact you. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, Jesus said this. He said, "If another believer sins against you," and let me just say this, isn't that the cause of most wounds? Someone offended us or wounded us through something they said or did? He said, "If that happens, go privately and point out the offense." He didn't say to go gossip about it. He didn't say go post on social media. He didn't say be passive aggressive. He said, go to them privately and point out the offense. He said, if you do that and the other person listens and confesses it, you've won that person back. That's the whole goal here. If someone's wounded you, you want to have a conversation and win the relationship back. But if you are unsuccessful, he said, take one or two other people with you and go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. In other words, if one-on-one doesn't work, maybe you need to bring some other people into the conversation to help facilitate that because maybe you guys aren't communicating well. So bring two or three other people with you. And then he said, if that doesn't work, if the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. And then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or corrupt tax collector. In other words, just move on. But our goal when we're making up stories in our mind or when someone's wounded us should be to go to that person and have a reconciliation conversation. And the goal is to reconcile the relationship, to let them know that they've wounded us and hurt us. And hopefully they'll own it, ask for forgiveness, and get better as a result. Because here's what I know. Leaders, listen to this. Oftentimes, the people that wounded us are not even aware that they wounded us. I'm going to say that again. The people, often the leaders that wounded us, are not even aware that they wounded us. And yet, we allow them to take up an enormous amount of time and capacity of our lives. And so, I want to encourage you, stop letting them take so much time of your life up. Go to them and have a conversation. In fact, that's exactly what I did. I told you I was making up stories in my mind about what those five people believed or thought about me. Well, I scheduled a lunch with each of those five people, and I sat down with them, and I said, listen, for whatever reason, I put you on a pedestal in my life, and I care way too much about what you think of me. In fact, I spent 75% of my day worrying about every action I take, everything that I say, and everything that I post. I constantly am just wondering, what are you thinking? And because I don't know what you're thinking, I make up what you're thinking. And I think what you're thinking is affirming that I am not enough and that I'm worthless and I'm not a good leader and all of these things. And then if they did something specific to make me feel that way, I would share it. Hey, when you did this that one time, it made me feel like I was absolutely worthless, that you didn't believe in me and you just thought I was a total loser. And I would have that conversation with them. And can I let you know what happened at each of those conversations? All of them basically laughed at the thought that I thought they thought poorly of me because they thought the exact opposite. They believed that I was great, that they loved me, they believed in me, and they apologized if they did anything to offend me. And in every case, they had no idea that they actually did offend or wound me. And again, for them, maybe it was enlightening, but for me, I just realized I wasted so much time worrying about what these people think and making up stories in my mind. If I would have just addressed this in the first place, if I would have just seeked reconciliation in the first place and learned how to have these conversations, I could have avoided so much pain and so much of my capacity being held up in my woundedness. I can't promise that every conversation you'll have will end the way mine did, but I can tell you this, that if you don't learn to confront your wounds with those who have wounded you, you're going to be paralyzed by making up stories in your mind for the rest of your life. Seek reconciliation. In fact, my next step on this point is to write down who wounded you. Maybe it's a list of one person, maybe it's a list of 10 people, and schedule meetings this week with those people to have these conversations. Stop letting the stories you're making up in your mind torment you when you can have one conversation that could reverse everything. Number 5, don't judge people, assume the best about people. I'll say it again. Don't judge people, assume the best about people. And here's what I know. When I was in that season of making up stories in my mind, I did not assume the best about people. In fact, I judged people, and that ended up not being helpful at all. You know, the Bible is very clear that we should not judge other people unless we want to be judged. But here's what I've learned about people, and once I had those reconciliation conversations, here's what I recognized. With very few exceptions, most people are doing the best that they can, and they have good intentions in everything that they do. That's true. Now, I know that good intentions don't always lead to a good impact, but at least give people the benefit of the doubt. Give people the benefit of the doubt that if they learn that they caused harm, if they learn that they wounded you, that they'll own it, they'll apologize, they'll repent, and try to get better. Because here's what I know, especially in leadership. I don't know about you, but do any of you have blind spots? I know I do. And so if we have blind spots, certainly the people that wounded us have blind spots. And here's what I know about blind spots. Our blind spots often cause harm, and unless someone makes us aware of them, they'll continue to harm other people. And oftentimes, the people who've wounded us are blind to the fact they wounded us, or they're blind to the fact of what they did to wound us. And that's why we need to learn to have the courage to address other people's blind spots. It could be the best thing that ever happened to them in their leadership journey. They become self-aware about something they were doing that was wounding other leaders. You know, I hope in my leadership journey that there's people that are courageous enough to have conversations with me about things that I do that impacts them in a negative way. Because as soon as I learn about that, I can own it, I can apologize, and I can repent and get better. It's the whole goal. And lastly, let me just share this about not judging people and assuming the best. You have no idea what it's like to be in another person's shoes. When that person wounded you, they could have been going through the toughest battle of their lives. They could have had the hardest day of their life, and you had no idea. And if you knew what was going on in their life the time that it happened, you would have so much more empathy. You wouldn't judge, and in fact, you would love them more. I just think the world would be a lot better place if we all stopped judging and started assuming the best about each other. Don't you want people to do the same for you? Don't judge people. Assume the best about people. Number 6, forgive and move on. Forgive and move on. Listen, after you've had conversations with the people who wounded you, you're going to have to make the choice to forgive them, even if they don't apologize. And it's the only way you're going to truly be able to move forward. You know, there was a time where someone wounded me in my journey, and I was so mad and so upset and so sad for 3 days. I didn't acknowledge this person. I didn't acknowledge people around me. I was so upset. And I had a mentor who knew about the situation coming into my life, and he said, "Doug, no matter what you do, you can't go back and change what happened and what that person did to hurt you. You can't. There's nothing you can do. All you can do is make the decision to forgive them. And if you truly forgive them, it doesn't mean you'll never think of it again, but it does mean you don't bring it up with them again. And you totally forgive them and you move on as though it never happened in that relationship." And that spoke to me so much, and I had to spend a little time with God because it was hard for me. But I ended up forgiving that person and never brought it up again, and we have a beautiful relationship to this day. And I'm so grateful that I had a mentor speak into my life and tell me that forgiveness is a choice, and I had a choice to make. And that's what I want to tell you today, leader. You have a choice to make. If you've been wounded, you're ultimately going to have to make the choice to forgive. It's the only way that you're going to move on. And here's what I know. If you're a person of faith, this makes it so much easier. We've been forgiven greatly. And when we realize that we've been forgiven greatly, it makes it a lot easier to forgive others in the same way. So learn to forgive, make the choice to forgive, and then move on. Number 7, and I have to say this as a person of faith, trust God for your future. Trust God for your future. We often get so wrapped up in how we've been impacted by people that we let that override how we've been impacted by God. And if you're a person of faith, realize that God is God, and He's way bigger than the people who wounded you. He's way bigger than your wounds, and you need to learn to trust Him for healing, trust Him for your future. And the Bible says that we can actually cast all of our burdens on Him because He truly does care for us. And when we know that, it makes it so much easier to trust God for our future. Number 8, learn the lessons that you need to learn. I share this quote often by John Maxwell, but it's so good. He always says this. He said, experience isn't the best teacher. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. And when you've gone through the steps that I've just shared with you on how to overcome your wounds, I really want to encourage you, learn those lessons and evaluate the experience and come up with your own lessons. But what you ultimately want to do is come up with your own playbook that you can go to, that when someone wounds you or you get wounded again, you can just go right to the game plan. And hopefully the game plan I just shared with you is helpful to you, but make your own game plan. And you shouldn't just do that in the area of overcoming wounds. You should do that in every area of your leadership. Learn the lessons you need to learn. Number 9, share your journey with others. Share your journey with others. Don't keep your journey to yourself. There are thousands of wounded people and leaders around you that could benefit from learning how you overcame your woundedness. Help them. Write blog posts. Share podcasts. Do everything you can to add value to leaders who are in the same position you were in just a few weeks, months, or years ago. You'll be surprised how many people that you can help by just simply sharing your journey. And then number 10, very, very simple. Repeat this process. Anytime you experience getting wounded, go back through this process, and hopefully each time your wounds will be impacting you less and less because you know how to properly deal with them. And so as we close, I just want to remind you what I reminded you of in the very beginning. If you're wounded, if you've been wounded in your leadership journey, I want you to know that you are not alone. Your future is not over, even if it seems like it is. You are not who other people have said that you are. You don't have to carry the pain that comes with your wounds with you everywhere that you go for the rest of your life. Your wounds can be healed. Your wounds can become part of your testimony. Your wounds can help others in their woundedness. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I hope this episode encouraged you. I hope it challenged you. And I hope it equipped you to properly deal with the wounds in your leadership. Well, hey, leader, thank you so much for listening to my lesson on how to overcome wounds in leadership. I hope that it added value to your life. If you'd like to get the links to anything that I discussed in the lesson, you can find them in the show notes at l3leadership.org/280. And as always, again, if the episode helped you, it would mean the world to me if you would share your key takeaways on social media, or hey, send this episode to two or three other leaders that you think it would add value to. Again, that helps us grow our audience and reach more leaders. So thank you in advance for that. And leader, I really want to encourage you, as I always do, that if you want to 10x your growth this year, I want to challenge you to either launch or join an L3 Leadership Mastermind Group. Mastermind groups have been the greatest source of growth in my life over the last 6 years. And if you're unfamiliar with what they are, they're groups of 6 to 12 leaders that meet together for at least 1 year in order to help each other grow to their maximum potential, achieve their goals, and to do life together. So if you're interested in learning more about launching or joining an L3 Leadership Mastermind Group, go to l3leadership.org/masterminds. And as always, I like to end every episode with a quote, and I'll quote Gerald Brooks today. And he said this, he said, "Leadership is the heart of giving away everything that God has given you." And I just love that. Leadership is the heart of giving away everything that God has given to you. Well, hey, I hope that, again, this episode encouraged you. Laura and I love you so much. We believe in you. Keep leading. Keep making a difference. Don't quit. Keep going. You got this. Have a great day, and we will talk to you next episode.